What a great Bible verse that was that we just finished with there. They're very promising words, and this is where the church ends up with after Pentecost. Jesus had spoken about this advocate, this comforter, this spirit, the one who would come after. And in the book of Acts, we hear this starting to come. Jesus in verse 16 of John 14, or in verse 15 first, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And essentially his commands are summed up to love God, love your neighbour as you love yourself. So if you love him, you'll obey. And Jesus will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counsellor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. There's a marked difference between the Old Testament religion and the New Testament when Jesus came. The difference is that God's Spirit lives in the church, in the people. Here is a new thing that Jesus promised would come, and in Acts we start to see it, that he would give us another counsellor. That word counsellor could be also translated as comforter or advocate. Sometimes we need to come to someone for counsel. We're not sure where to turn. God's Holy Spirit is the one that we can turn to and say, "Please lead me. I don't know what to do here." Sometimes we need comforting because we are in despair and we're not sure what's going on. God's Holy Spirit is the one that God has sent to comfort us. We're told there that he will be with us forever. Now that can be a downer, actually. If you're trying to flee from God, the Holy Spirit being near you is a bit of a bummer because you can't run away. There's this a guy from England, I can't remember his name, so forgive me, but he used to call the Holy Spirit the Hound of Heaven. Someone who wrote a lot of poetry. And he tells this poem of running away from God all different directions, but the Hound of Heaven keeps pursuing. And this is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will continue to pursue us, not in order to chase us down like a hound dog would, to catch you and devour you and rip you up, but because he loves you so much that he won't let you go. The Comforter will be with us forever. And sometimes we need an advocate to plead on our behalf, to go before us and convince other people or other things that, you know, we should be helped. The Spirit will go ahead of us and be our advocate, going for our cause. Which is a really great thing to know, that Jesus promises that the Spirit will be with us to comfort, to counsel, to advocate for us. And all of that's from the Greek word, you probably don't care, paraclete. That's where all of that comes from. Those three meanings come from that one word. And that's the Spirit that we have with us now in the church. Our Acts reading is a bit of a bizarre reading where these disciples were gathered in a room right at the start of the book of Acts. Jesus had just risen from the dead and had left them. Now, just before Jesus rose from the dead, we also heard that the disciples were gathered in a room. Can anyone remember what they were doing in the room before Jesus appeared to them? What was that? No, they weren't praying.
Hiding.
They were packing their dacks for fear of the Jews, we're told. They were so scared that what happened to Jesus would happen to them. So they were hiding. But Jesus appeared to them, and in John 20, we read that he breathed on them, which was him saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," which is this gift of the Comforter that we talked about. And then the next time we hear about the disciples is in the book of Acts, again gathered together in prayer, and this time they are not afraid, but rather they are bold. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to turn to the book of Acts, in chapter 2 there now. When the day of Pentecost came, and that was pretty much 50 days after the Passover, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. So here's this 50 days after Jesus had said, "Hang around the city until you receive power from on high." And here they are hanging around, and this weird thing happens. It's sort of like these air conditioners blowing. Can anyone feel the Spirit there? I mean, the wind. Spirit and wind are actually the same word in Greek. Feel the wind. Well, a mighty wind. In fact, today when I was starting to do my hair, I could have put gel in it, but I chose to go hairspray to make it look like it had been wind blown. You know, the Holy Spirit blowing through, you know, when you put your head out of the car. Well, in this interesting thing in the book of Acts, something weird happened in the room. They felt what it was like, some wind going. Which I wonder what you think when you hear about wind and in the context of the Spirit. Well, what I hear is another biblical story at play. Because right at the beginning of the Bible, if you were to read the first chapter, it says that in the beginning, like, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit or wind of God hovered over the waters. And right at the beginning, the wind or Spirit of God was at work, starting to remake or to make things. And so too here at the beginning of the church, or the new creation that's beginning, the Spirit of God is doing something new. The Spirit of God is doing something new in the new creation that Jesus has brought about when he died and then rose again, conquered death, and ascended to the Father. And then he's given this new gift to the church, that a new dawn in history, a new day has come. Now the Spirit, God's very Spirit, is dwelling not in a building, but with people. So now, no matter where we go individually, God's Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is there with the church. So they all started to speak in these weird tongues. Can anyone here speak in another language? What can you speak? Now, can you? You speak another language? No. You can't? Now, just tell me what language it is. I won't get you to say any. No, you can't. Yeah, you can, Josiah. What can you say? What, can you say anything in Indonesian? No, you don't have to. What can... Philippine, can you say something in Philippines for me? What does that mean?
Welcome. How are you?
Ah... Now, if you were in a room full of people and you heard someone say that, what would it make you do? Would it make you go, "Oh, There's someone who knows my language. Yeah? It's an amazing thing. If you, is anyone here, you're from England originally? You're still speaking English though, aren't we? Yeah, you do. You're pretty good. All right. Can you imagine, because this is what is happening in the book of Acts. They started to speak in these strange languages or languages that they didn't understand. But there were people from all over the world who came to Israel for this festival of Passover. Oh, they used to come for Passover. This time they came for Pentecost. And there were lots and lots of people in Jerusalem. And they heard this commotion of the early church speaking in these weird languages. And when I first read that, I'm like, why? That's just bizarre. Why would God send his spirit and get them to speak in weird languages? Well, there was a reason. Because God sent his spirit to the church and let them tell in other tongues so that those people from other languages who were in Jerusalem could know that this message is for them. And there's something extra special about hearing the wonders of God, and that's what they were able to hear when they heard this special language. They heard about the goodness and wonders of God. By hearing it in your own language, you would know for sure that this message is for you. In your home language, that the message of God is something for you and for your people. And here's a turning point in the world history, that God was not just the God of the Jewish people, but rather in the coming of Jesus, it was his plan to save the whole world. And the coming of the Spirit starts to enable that for the church to be equipped to go and share this great news of God beyond just the people of Israel to the people of the whole world. As you read this, you may go, well, they sound like a bunch of wackos that happened at that point. It's really quite a weird story. Well, in the original script, we actually have some people saying, well, they're just made fun. They were saying, you've had too much wine. Sometimes people are a bit loud and funny when they've had too much wine. I'm sure you've all encountered that. Well, that's what the people who originally heard this, they just thought they were off their tree and drunk. But Peter, being bold again, stood up in verse 14, chapter 2, and he says, fellow Jews and all you who live here in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. If it had been 12 in the morning, it might have been possible. Is that what he's saying? No. It's early in the morning. They're not drunk. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then he goes back and he says what Joel said and points them back. Very interesting that not long before this, Jesus did the same thing. After he rose from the dead, Jesus stood among his disciples and said, look back into the scriptures. Remember I died and rose again and I taught this and this and this. Well, look back in the scriptures and you can see me now back here when I did this. I was fulfilling this scripture. I was fulfilling this scripture. I was fulfilling this scripture. And so Peter is doing the same thing. When he encounters what happened on the day of Pentecost, he looks back and he says, that's to fulfill this. So here is what it's to fulfill. That in the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all people. This is what Joel said many, many centuries before. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Peter's saying, this is what's happening. The Spirit of God is being poured out on his people like God promised. At the end of Peter's address there, he says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, that's actually the last bit of the quote from the prophet Joel. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Spirit being poured out is evidence towards that. So I'm just going to pause my going through the book of Acts at the moment and just ask this question for you and for me, actually. It's a really important question to ask. And both our Acts reading and our John reading has the same thing in common. Jesus said in John 14, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands and I will pour out my Spirit on you." In this one it says, "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," and the implication is as well that the Spirit will be poured out on them. And so the question I have for all of us is, are you calling out on the name of the Lord so that you can be saved? Because the promise is anyone who does, that they will be saved. Saved from what? Well, saved from our rebellion from God, saved from our selfishness, saved from going our own way. And then the promise is that God's Spirit will be in us, and where His Spirit is, that's where life is. You may well recall the book of Ezekiel. There's a particular vision in the book of Ezekiel where there's this valley that is just absolutely filled with bones. And through this vision, eventually the bones get flesh put back on them and life comes back. The body sort of gets put back together. But then at the end, the Spirit is put back into these dead bones. And at the end of that vision, the promise is that one day God's Spirit will live within the people. That's the promise, that God's Spirit will live within the people. Where the Spirit is, there's life. Where there's not the Spirit of God, it's just like a body of bones. Sometimes I think we feel like a body of walking bones. But what God wants for us is that we will have life. His life within us. And this is what God's Spirit is. It's His life within us. Right at the end of Acts 2, in verse 38 and 39, Peter goes to wrap up his sermon, which I'm about to wrap up too, by the way. So if you're wondering how long is he going to go for, right, I'm getting there too. At the end of his sermon, the people said, "Well, what do we do? We hear that Jesus died and rose again and that God was with him. What do we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." So this is how you call on the name of the Lord, by the way. You repent and you're baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So Peter makes it clear that if you wanted to respond, you repent, which really means turning back from your way to God's way, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift. What I love about this passage here is it says, the promise is for you. The promise is for you. I don't know what you've been thinking as I've been talking about the Holy Spirit today. If it may be something that you're used to and that you've had in your life before, the Holy Spirit or the life of God, you might be going, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what I'd love to tell you tonight is that right from the early church, they've wanted to let it be known that the promise of the Spirit of God in your life is for you. It's for all who are far off. God doesn't want people pushed away. He wants people close. He wants his life in you and in me. I'm just going to finish with a story. So God not only saves us, he not only puts his life of the Holy Spirit within us, his Spirit also gives the church boldness and equipping to proclaim this awesome news that life is for the world. This life is for the whole world. A few years ago, I had a friend who I hadn't seen since high school, and I'd been hanging out in the pub, and I felt led by God, go talk to him. I'm like, all right. So I just went up to the bar. It was at the Criterion Hotel in Castlemaine, and said, how you going? Okay. And I just spent an hour talking to him. And at the end of it, I said to him, so do you want to know more about God? Because we pretty much talked about God the whole time. He asked question after question. I said, would you want to know more? And he's like, yeah, I really do. I'd like to know more. So I arranged a time to go and see him at his house. And when I got to his house, it turns out that his dad had died not that long before. So the day, I think it was the day before I went up to see him at the bar, his dad had died. He didn't tell me that. And I really definitely remember God saying, you go and speak to him. And when I got to his house, we were able to talk about life, about death, about Jesus' death and resurrection. And there was hope beyond the grave. And it was so bizarre because it wasn't until we got through that whole conversation that he said, oh, my father had died just a few days before. And I was absolutely convinced that God's Spirit led me and empowered me for the conversations that I needed to have at that point. I didn't know that his dad had died, but God knew. And here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do is he'll guide us to the people that God knows needs help, that need his love, that sometimes just need someone to sit with and care for, because God loves the world and he wants all people to know life and to know him. I pray that each of us will find our life in him and also be led to the right place at the right time to be able to share the promise of God with others when that right time pops up. Well, friends, let's pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, in your new church, you sent your Spirit. The promise that you would always be near us and that you would love us. The Spirit is the guarantee of what's to come, and that's life with you forever. Heavenly Father, may we all call out to you. May we all grab onto that promise. And may we all be filled with your Spirit. May your life be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.